The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
So, you old buffaloes, you're still here. As I've listened to Melissa and Michael and David all talk about this koan, I've been wondering if there's anything new left for me to say about it. And there's really just one thing that's come up for me that's been there all along but not really emphasized. And that is that this koan is really funny. And it takes a while to get the humor because it is so deadpan. It makes Buster Keaton look like way too expressive. It's this deadpan humor that we actually see in a lot of the koans. In some koans, you know, somebody laughs, but in a lot of them, it just stays deadpan like this all the way through. But really, it's pretty hysterical. But it took us a while, right? And it's like Melissa told us this funny story yesterday in the Tay Show, and about 24 hours later, we were going, oh, ha-ha. It was this very delayed hit of humor. But I was enjoying it so much when this morning during David's talk, we started to get the humor and started to laugh together. And then even more in the Dharma dialogue, lots of uninhibited laughter. And I've heard so much of that in this room. I've laughed so many times with the Boundless Way Zen sanghas of the past and this sangha of the present. And it's been so healing for me, this laughter, and so important for me. I've been thinking about how important laughter is to Zen. And I remember either someone saying or reading someplace years ago that if you go to a Zen group and you spend some time with it and you don't hear much laughter, maybe you have to keep looking for your Zen group. And I can say that the first Zen group I belonged to was a really grim group. And I didn't last a year there. And it almost didn't last many years longer. It imploded and needed to really transform before it could go on. That grimness told you something. But you know, it's not every spiritual tradition that involves a lot of laughter. Zen's not unique in that way, but it's certainly maybe even in the minority of spiritual traditions where laughter is so important. So I've been wondering about why that is. Why is laughter important in Zen? Why do we prefer a Zen group where people are laughing? Why did I find that so comforting the first evening I went to Hank and Newton and heard people laughing? And I think part of the laughter is the laughter that comes with seeing through our illusions, because some of them are really funny when you see through them. And Zen gives us this opportunity to see our illusions for what they are. Some of us may have been in danger of dying with some of these illusions, never letting them go, never seeing through them. Let yourself be seen through, our koan says. And sometimes when you see through these dearly held illusions about the self, sometimes tears come. That too I have seen. That too I have done in this very room. Some of you have witnessed. But a lot of times it comes with laughter, because the thing about illusions is they're not nearly as powerful as you thought they were. And so it's kind of funny when they reveal themselves as what they are, so closely held. And I think some of the laughter too is about just basically what it means to be human. There's something funny about being a human being. And we're really one of the only animals that laughs. It's quite unusual in the animal world to laugh. Ever since May, I've been taking care of a cat. It's been living with me. In all that time, not once has it laughed. Hasn't even smiled. And yet we laugh all the time. We're also, you know, among mammals, we're the only ones that try to walk on two legs. And in his theory of humor, Freud thought these were related. He thought that it was kind of unnatural. Human beings put themselves in an unnatural situation in relation to the ground. They didn't have the sense to keep going on all fours. And so here we get into our dignified, upstanding posture, and every once in a while we fall. And Freud thought that the essence of humor was the pratfall. We fall on our face when not on our ass. And for Freud, that just exposed it, this illusion we have of being above the other animals, of being free somehow from gravity. And when gravity reasserts itself, we got to do these fun exercises with Melissa, where we'd, you know, just start to test, just start to see where the body and gravity got into some tension. And so these falls bring us down to earth and bring out the humor of being a human being with all these pretensions. And yet, just one more creature like the other ones. The Latin word for ground is humus, as you probably know. And so we get words like humiliate and humble from humus. To be humiliated is to be brought back down to the earth. To be humbled is to lay yourself out on the ground. Interestingly, humus is also the root of human. To be human is to be close to the ground and sometimes right on it. So I'm thinking about our friend Guishan. Guishan lay down. He gets this invitation, this high-flying invitation from Iron Grindstone Lu, which is impossible. And what can he do? He just reveals his deep and fundamental humanness. Guishan, lay down. And the commentary to that in the version we've been using at the Sesshin is, on the way, he frees himself. Isn't that interesting? When he lays down on the ground, he frees himself from whatever bind he might have gotten into, from whatever illusion he might have gotten caught up in. It's really important for Zen teachers, I'm discovering, to be grounded, to be brought to ground, to hit the ground sometimes. I had a little experience this afternoon. It was my turn to be the teacher in the Zendo. David and Melissa were doing interviews upstairs. And so, yeah, so I was going to be the all-seeing, but, you know, nobody sees him looking, but the all-seeing teacher that takes care of the Zendo. And at one point, I was walking behind Bill in Kinhin, walking behind our Jiki, and then I heard the sound for Doksan, and I saw Bill was holding the stick. So I just very suavely moved in and took the clappers from him. And Bill moved into the parlor, right, to make way for the Kinhin line. What I didn't realize is that the sound I heard wasn't the sound that went with the stick. It was the sound that went with the cushion. And as I passed Bill, he was looking at me with this look that said, "What did I do?" And after about, you know, three rounds through the Zendo, I realized, Oh, shit. And, you know, there I was, sprawled on the ground. And here you are, freeing me with this laughter. So important to me. Let yourself be seen through. One of the ways, speaking from my own experience, one of the ways that we choose Shokan teachers is we choose the teacher who can see through us. And yet, still value us. What an amazing gift to be seen through and to still be valued. Yeah, it means everything. So let's keep laughing together, and let's not get all grim. And let's remember that part of our tradition is a tradition of lots and lots of open-hearted laughter. And that this laughter can free us not just from illusions, but ultimately maybe from the burden of the self, at least for a little while. Sometimes when we're released from a great pain we've been feeling, or when we're released from a burden, we just laugh. Have you ever had that experience? Just in this incredible sense of release and relief, laughter comes. And sometimes in our Zen trajectories, something opens up and all we can do is laugh. So thank you for your laughter today. It did my heart good. Thank you.